The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. On this episode, we are going to talk about the Astros getting swept. I think we'll also talk about whether or not the Astros should have won one of these games, how frustrated we are, if we're frustrated at all. And joining me today, as always, my boy, Wally. Wally, good morning, buddy. You got up early, and I'm staying up for this. So we're the real workhorses of Astros.
Yeah, we've got the candle burning at both ends. You calling it a night and me calling it a morning.
So I'll be going to bed after this, and you will be starting your day.
You bet.
All right, so don't forget, folks. I'm going to work the banners here. So don't forget. If you want to win a shirt by Ram Shirts, it'll be at the bottom. Win a shirt from Ram Shirts. Send the email to astrosbaseballpodcast@gmail.com and tell us who the players of the series were for this episode. People are actually listening and joining in. It's not that hard, folks. Just send the email in and you get a shirt. They're like 29. I don't know. They're like $22, $30 shirts. I don't know, but they're nice. I love them. I love them. They're my favorite shirts.
Yeah, I do. I do some t-shirts from my Tio Ernesto's seasoning stuff, and they're 25 or so. You know, if you get a good shirt that's got a pocket, heavy cotton, it's between 20 and 30 bucks. It's not cheap.
Yeah. All right. So, like I said earlier, the Braves swept the Astros, and this is my first question for you, Wally. We're 6-14. I remember an episode when I was like, I feel pretty good being 2-5. I mean, we play pretty good and this and that. How are you feeling about being 6-14?
We're 3 weeks into the season. Teams are starting to develop a personality and develop trends. The Astros, we'll get into some more of the details about it, but you know, they're not hitting with runners in scoring position. They've got such a big difference between their batting average and the number of runs scored is ranked against the rest of the majors. Mm-hmm. There's something like fourth in batting average and like 15th in runs scored. So that tells you they're leaving a lot of money on the table. The Astros are also losing games late. And the strange thing about this season so far are the things that we thought were going to really be the strengths are turning out to be our weaknesses. Presley yesterday had a tough day. Yep. Hader had a tough day in game one. Now they were already behind, but you went from a game that was possibly winnable to a game where you're just trying to throw Brandon Belak to keep Hader from blowing out his arm.
Yeah. All right. The way I feel is it's a little frustrating. I mean, but one way to look at it, the Astros are struggling. We've already pointed that out. We already know that. But one thing else that we pointed out at the beginning of the year is this gauntlet of a schedule they gave us. Yeah, Braves, Rangers. I mean, I can't remember who else it was, but it was a really tough schedule, and we didn't expect to like come out of here 14-6.
No,
I mean,
we didn't.
I don't think any of us did, but we didn't expect to be this bad.
No, we didn't. I did some numbers and posted them on X a few days ago that as of Sunday, the Astros opponents had 55 wins. The closest team to us had 50 wins. And some of them had as few as 37 wins. So that'll give you an idea of the difficulty of schedule we had. Throwing that in there, no one expected Kansas City to be as good as they are so far. Also, yeah. The Astros, as of Wednesday, have played 20 games. No one else has played any more than 19. And there's a little more variance or a little less variance than that. It's 17 to 20. But you had the Astros with one day off in the first 21, and they played a really tough schedule.
They really did.
There's still a lot of these games that they left on the table. They should have won. If you look at where they are, they certainly should have won the game yesterday. There's a couple other games that they should have won. It really, when you look at, we ought to probably be 9-11.
All right, so let's take a look at game one. So there's one thing I'm going to do during the show, folks. I'm going to count how many runs the starters gave up, how many the bullpen gave up, and how many we scored, and then how that looks overall. So we were up 1-0 in game one. Alex Bregman had an RBI, and we lose 6-1. Spencer Arrighetti, his first start, he got lit up. But I like what I saw in game one. 4 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, only 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. I think that was a very good sign and a very good turnaround for Spencer Arrighetti. He only went 4 innings, but to go from what he did his first outing to this one is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I thought in the first game he acted like he belonged a lot more. The first game he acted like a rookie. First game, he was just throwing harder and hardest to try to throw himself out of problems. Mm-hmm. His second game, game one of this series, he threw a lot more breaking balls. He looked a lot more composed. He threw 87 pitches, threw 57 strikes. He had that one inning where he threw 39 pitches, but still got himself out of there and came back and worked another inning. So there was definite growth. There's things that he can take down to Sugarland and refine more, and we'll see him back again.
So they already sent him back down?
Yeah, they sent him back down.
Dang, they're making a lot of moves.
Whitley got sent down too.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that later, Wally. All right, so we go to the top of the ninth. Josh Hader's in there. It's only 2-1, and that's the move you want to make. I mean, you're only down by one. Put your closer in there, shut him down, and have a chance in the ninth inning. And this is how it went. Walked a guy, threw a wild pitch. The guy went to second, RBI single. 2 more singles, the base is loaded. They drive in another run. It's 4-1. Then Bielak comes in and gives up an RBI single and a force out. It's 6-1. And all those runs are all credited to Hader. Positive, Seth, Montero, and Abreu, 3 2/3 innings combined, no runs. Josh Hader, 1/3 of an inning, 4 hits, 4 runs. I don't know. I mean, somebody showed a stat that last year he allowed like a certain amount of runs, and he's already there this year.
Yeah, I think the number's 8.
Yeah, I thought it was 8 or 9. I mean, he is having, I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is, but he's having a rough go at it.
Yeah, that first game, his velocity was down. He was call it 95 is what I saw most of the time. He's normally 96, 97, and he was up. So his velocity's down. He is missing his spots. And you throw major league pitchers high fastballs that don't have a lot of movement to them, they're going to hit him. And that's what happened. Sometimes people try to make these things more difficult than they really are. As you throw a pitch that people are looking for in the spot they're looking for, they're going to hit it.
Yeah. So Altuve went 3-for-4. Bregman went 2-for-4. Pena and Dubon got hits. So the Astros had 7 hits, even though 5 of them were from Altuve and Bregman. So you got to have more people contributing. 1 run on 7 hits. 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position, 8 left on base. So the starters gave up 2, bullpen gave up 4, and the offense only scored 1. That is not a winning combination.
No, it's not. When you look, you say that the offense got 7 hits, they had 32 at bats, official at bats. That's a 219 batting average. And a lot of 219 hitters end up back in AAA, don't they?
Yeah.
On base percentage was 306.
But like I said, 5, Alex Bregman and Altuve went 5-for-8.
There you go, wishing on Abreu.
I wish. We'll talk about him later, too. All right, so let's talk about game two. So the Astros lost game one, 6-1. Game two, they lose 6-2. So there are silver linings in some of these games. Game one, Spencer Arrighetti, silver lining. Game two, Hunter Brown, silver lining. Six innings, five hits, two runs, three walks, three strikeouts, and a home run. When he leaves the game, the Astros are only down 2-0. Hunter Brown pitched good, and he put the team in a position to win the game. But after six innings, they hadn't even scored a run yet.
And with the home run that was given up, I think they came – I've seen varying accounts of this, but I think that home run should have been a ground rule double. Hunter, we were at that game. Hunter Brown was good. You could see him changing speeds. We couldn't see as well as you would on TV where he's locating him. But since the balls were not going, you know, against the wall like they were against Kansas City, you have to assume that the location was really good. Disappointments in that game are a lot. Again, you 34 at bats, seven hits, 206 average, 250 on base. When you get to the pitchers, Espada left Sean Dubin in to start the ninth, and he'd already gone two innings, and that he doesn't have a lot of experience up in the bigs, and so that's kind of a questionable move. And then Whitley came in to pitch the last couple of innings, and Dubin got charged with a couple of runs that Whitley gave hits on.
Yep. Yeah, so Dubin had a ground out, a single, 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 loaded the bases, a ground rule double, and that's when he gave up the runs in the ninth. And it was 4-0. And then Whitley, this is a big moment for Astro fans. We've been waiting for this guy forever, and he pitches one game, they send him back. But when I saw, because if all you see is the box score, you're like, wow, this guy threw two-thirds of an inning, didn't allow any runs. But he gave up a two-run double, but the runs were already the runners were on from Dubin. But I'm not sure why he would throw him out there in the ninth. Maybe he should have just put Whitley out there and gave him a clean inning. You know,
yeah,
the guy's debut. Give him a clean inning.
Yeah, I was that ninth inning reeked of rookie manager. You had Dubin, who had gone two innings and really pitched well. You had Whitley with a chance to come in with a clean inning, try to get his feet under him, end the game with a couple of good news stories. Even if you don't win the game, you've got some good news stories that you can take out. Now you've got Dubin that got soaked up for runs. His line is going to show that he had a 15.43 ERA for that game only, but you know, he pitched really well. Whitley had a 0.00 ERA, but some of those balls that were hit off of Whitley were rockets.
Yeah. He gave up a two run double that made it 6-0. Then he hit a guy, got a ground out, walked a guy, and then a fly out. So he didn't give up any runs, but he didn't pitch that well.
No, he had a lot of runs. He inherited three and they all scored.
So the bottom of the ninth, we had the bright spot. Kyle Tucker had a home run, his fifth of the season, and Dubon had an RBI single. A little too late. The Astros lose 6-2. Dubin, two and a third innings, five hits and four runs. Starters gave up two, bullpen gave up four, the same as the other one. And the offense actually scored two. But there were two starters. I didn't write everybody's numbers, I don't think, but six of the nine starters got zero hits. It was just like the first game where two guys did everything. Six guys, they didn't do anything. JP3 went 2-for-4. He got two
JP, that's right. Altuve did nothing. Alvarez didn't do anything.
Yep.
Bregman 0-for-4. Mm-hmm. McCormick 0-for-3. McCormick looked terrible. He was way, way out in front of curveballs. To give the Braves credit, Lopez was terrific. He had the Astros off off balance all night. He, when they were looking for curveballs or break other breaking pitches, he'd throw the fastball. When they were sitting on a fastball, he'd throw the slider low and away. He ate the Astros up, and he really deserves a lot of credit. He was terrific.
So the Astros 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. They left 7
do
the, on base.
Do our viewers sense a trend?
There is a trend. 1-for-7, 8 left on base. 1-for-8, 7 left on base. So 2-for-15, 15 left on base. So after two games, the starters allowed 4 runs. The bullpen has allowed 8 runs. And the Astros offense has scored 3 runs. So before we get to game 3, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
All right, folks, we're back. Game 3. I titled it Astros Blow Game 3, Lose in Extra Innings 5-4. This is a game they definitely should have won.
Absolutely.
JP France. This is another guy who's been struggling. Just like Arrighetti, just like Hunter Brown, JP France, 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, a walk, and 4 strikeouts. He did give up 2 home runs, but again, he pitched well enough for the Astros to win.
And when you hear people talk about home runs, solo home runs are not going to kill you. And that ball that Acuna hit was a bomb.
Yeah. Like
422 to dead center. He had 91 pitches, 51 strikes. So, you know, not too bad, not fantastic, but not too bad. But JP did what JP does. And that's just get people out. Yeah, he'll run into a bad one once in a while. But for a guy with his repertoire, he just knows how to pitch and get people out.
So when he left the game, they were up 2-1, or they were down 2-1. But in the bottom half of that inning, Bregman had an RBI and Tucker had a RBI double, and the Astros took the lead. So he was actually – did they have to go 6 innings to get the win? Or
No, they have to go 5. He was in line for a win.
So he was in line for the win. And then Dubon had a home run in the 6th inning. We're up 4-2.
Yeah, and it was so funny when he hit that home run that he and Alvarez were flexing in the dugout, because Alvarez hit that home run in the first inning.
Yeah.
And it just barely snaked over the Crawford box wall. And of course, that Dubon was giving him a hard time about, you know, just this little bitty home run that he hit. And Dubon's home run was about 30 feet longer than Alvarez. So they were flexing, and you could tell they were giving each other a hard time and having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. Yordan had that home run in the bottom of the first, and he just, cause this game was on early. So I got to watch this one, and he just touched it. He barely swung. He barely hit it. But he's kind of flicked it. Yeah. Yeah. He's so strong. He just flicked it into the proper boxes. One, I guess you would have saw this in the game, but one stadium out of 30, that would have been a home
run. That's right.
all right. So the eighth inning comes, and who is that? Presley, right?
Ryan Presley.
All right, so Olsen reaches on an error by my boy Jose Abreu. But there's already two guys on. You want to blame Jose Abreu, I get it. But there's already two guys on. If now, he had an error and there was nobody on, and those two guys, he got those two guys out, it wouldn't even be that big of a deal.
You know, when I first saw that, Rob, I thought I was going to throw my phone into the TV because it's poor Abreu. But then when you look at that ball when it was hit, I don't know what it hit, but it took a wicked sideways hop off.
It did. It turned right into it.
It took, you know, he was lining up to get a one hopper, and that thing took about a 20-degree angle right into his body.
It did.
And you've got to give him an error on it, but that was not as easy of a play as it has originally looked. And you really feel for Abreu for all he's been through. And as they always seem to say in baseball, when you're having trouble, trouble seems to find you in the game.
You said that before. If you're having trouble fielding the ball's going to find you.
It never fails. When you put somebody in the game as a defensive replacement, guess who's getting the first ball?
Yeah. So this all happened after I left for work, and I saw the highlights. You can watch the highlights on the MLB app, and I saw the same thing you did. It was going right at him. He set up his glove, getting ready, and it just turned. It turned left and went right into his body. But I said,
he's not the quickest guy anyway. And that would be a tough play for any first baseman. So and for a guy like him who's not the quickest guy, it's even tougher.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, okay, I saw the error and I was like, oh no, he got everything started. But then I see it and there was already two guys on. And then that was a tough play. So let's get off of him on that. So a run came in and then a sack fly and they tie it up. Top of the 10th. This is what was it? Gets my goat. There's nothing that annoys me more than not being able to get the ghost runner in. So the top of the 10th, the Braves got their ghost runner in. In the bottom of the 10th, it started out good. Tucker walked and we had runners on first and second with no out. Then Diaz flied out. Jake Myers came in to pinch hit, I believe.
Myers started off as the ghost runner at second.
Oh, he was the ghost runner. Okay. Yeah, so he was moved the ghost to third. Runner. So we have first and third with one out.
Yeah.
Perfect situation. JP3, who's been pretty decent lately, grounds into a double play and breaks all of our hearts.
And if you want to take a look at what the season's been so far, just look at that ninth inning or the 10th inning. You know, you get a hit or you get somebody on second, you get a walk, you've got something going, you move a guy to third, and then the next thing you know, 6-4-3. And I don't care if it was the flash running to first base. That was so tailor-made. It was going to be turned.
Yeah. So Montero had a scoreless inning. Brian Abreu had a scoreless inning. Presley gave up two runs, only one is earned. And then Hader had a good inning. Magic Man gave up a hit and a run. Unearned was the ghost runner. But, I mean, you bring a guy in to pitch the 10th, and you got a guy on second right away. So, I mean, I would think the percentage that the team should score on everybody should be like in the 70s. It blows my mind that they can't get that guy in, bunt him over, and then you got a guy on third with no outs.
Yeah, you got to, man, in that situation, you got to play fundamental baseball. Yeah. You've got to get that guy to third. The guy coming up has to get the runner home. You know, it kind of bugs me about the ghost runner. We've talked a little bit about it before. I understand the idea that you don't want to have 18-inning games, but it turns it into kind of a beer league softball game when you get a guy at second base. After guys have worked so hard during the game, let it run, let it play out a couple innings, maybe the 12th, 13th. Put somebody at second base so you don't have one of these 18-inning marathons.
There you
but you know, it's just kind of rinky dink.
Yeah, move it to the 12th. Let them play a couple of extra innings and then do it.
Right.
It's kind of like college football. They do two series and then they got to go for two. Like they, okay, now let's make it harder on you. But they let them play it out at the beginning. Altuve 2-for-4, Yordan 2-for-5, Bregman 1-for-2, and he had 3 walks.
Yeah.
Good job by Bregman. Yiner Diaz, if I said all these stats to you, you'd have thought we won. Diaz 2-for-5, Dubon 1-for-4, Abreu 0-for-2, but he got a walk. Caratini. I really like the team when he's catching and Yiner's DHing. It just seems, but he went 0-for-4. So right. The Astros this time, 2-for-9 with runners in scoring position, and they left 9 on base. So they left even more on this time.
And what do you want to guess our totals and our and runners in scoring position were for the series? Let's go 4-for-24 with a 167 batting average. Guess what? You're going to lose lots of games if you play like that.
You are. You're definitely going to. So starting pitching, 6 runs allowed in the series. You should win the majority of those games. Bullpen, 11 runs allowed. The Astros scored 7 runs in a 3-game series.
Yeah, that is, you know, you get guys. It's not like football when you get stopped at the 20-yard line, you kick a field goal. You got to go all the way in baseball. Starters had a 3.60 ERA. Like you said, you should win games with a 3.60 ERA.
Yep.
Bullpen had a 6.23 ERA. But the weird thing about the bullpen is we only had 2 guys give up runs. You know that?
I didn't realize that.
We had 3 guys give up runs. I'm sorry. We had
Dubin, Presley, and Hader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Presley.
And Dubin shouldn't even have been in there.
Yeah, Dubin's a hard luck guy on this. You know, Presley had a 27 ERA for the series. Dubin 15.43 and Presley 9. All the rest of the guys, you get Martinez, Montero, Abreu, Belak, Whitley, and even though we put an asterisk on Whitley, you know, I come back to Montero as if you told me Montero had a less than 2 ERA, as much concern as we had for Montero at the first of the season, you'd say we're nailing people, and because he's been really, really good.
I was going to ask you if he's even given up a run yet. I didn't even know he has.
I think he's got like a 1. Let me see what he's got. He's got like a 180 ERA.
Really?
Something like that. Yeah, it's insane good. Did he pitch last ERA night? Right? Yeah, it was 180.
Montero, 180. Dang. And he got a lot of hate last year, but
a little.
Maybe it's time to move him. Maybe it's time to move him up a little further back. Move him down. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe, but he has no pressure. He's just pitching in the middle of the day. These other guys have pressure. I don't understand it. Like, Hader's just blows my mind how bad he's doing. But anyway.
Well, yesterday, one thing I noticed is compared to Monday, his fastball was up at like 97. So I don't know if it's a mechanical thing they picked up, but he got a couple of ticks on the fastball Wednesday that he didn't have on Monday. And he looked really good yesterday.
All right. So we spoke about this already. You want to win a shirt? This is the Ram Shirts Player of the Series. We got position player. We got pitcher. And we got the Coach Rose Award for somebody who exceeded your expectations. Pitcher, position player, whoever you want it to be, it's all totally up to you. So once again, you can win a shirt, astrosbaseballpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us who the player of the series, anything that we pick, you put the name in, that counts. It doesn't matter. And I'm telling you, if you want to win a shirt, get it in because people are entering. I said that earlier. All right, so pitcher of the series, who do you got, pal?
I've got Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown, especially coming off the series that he had or the game he had in Kansas City, that showed a lot of maturity for him to come in and face a really tough lineup. As you talked earlier, 6 innings, 5 hits, two runs, two earned runs, three walks. So he wasn't perfect. You know, his strikeout rate is still down a little bit. One home run, one controversial home run, 88 pitches, 48 strikes. Not perfect there, but battled. And again, one thing that I saw in that game as compared to the Kansas City game, even this, it's an unfair comparison, is the breaking ball was better located than it was against Kansas City. Against Kansas City, he was hanging them over the middle of the plate, and they were doing what big league players should do to hangers.
I also pick Hunter Brown.
Hey, we finally agreed.
I think J.P. France was deserved of it also. He just gave up those two solo shots, but Hunter Brown went one more inning, so I vote.
Yeah, honorable mention is Montero.
Well, there's still the Coach Rose for you there, buddy.
True.
He's still
don't want
there.
To steal our thunder.
He's still there. All right, position player. This one was tough. It was really
tough. Who do you
tough. Have? I got Alex Bregman.
Okay.
I don't know.
Why'd you have Bregman?
Well, he went 2-for-4, and he drove in two runs, and then I think he went one for two and walked twice. He was on base three times yesterday.
Yeah. I've got Altuve, even though he didn't hit with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
5 for 12, 417 average of the 462 on base. He's the one guy that continues to hit, but you know, he's kind of a microcosm of the whole team right now, because do you know that outside of his home runs, he's not gotten a hit with runner in scoring position yet all season?
Wow. He was my, so it was down to those two.
Yeah, that's all there was.
I was trying to figure out who it was. I mean, I think Kyle Tucker is probably third, but I just went with Bregman. I don't think anyone did anything to impress me.
Yeah, let me run through some numbers just as far as how guys did for the series.
All right.
And these are just batting averages.
All right.
Altuve, 417. Alvarez, 154. Tucker, 200. You mentioned Bregman, 300. Diaz, 250. McCormick, a goose egg. Pena, 231. Abreu, goose egg. And Singleton, 250. Dubon, 375. And Caratini had a pinch hit in one, and also yesterday. He didn't hit any. For the series, the guys hit 225.
How are you getting those numbers?
Just pull them off of the individual games, and I put a spreadsheet together of each game and do an add up at the end of the series.
I was going to ask you if you had the on base percentage.
I do have the on base percentage for the team was
number one.
Let's see, for the team it was 307. Bregman and Altuve tied at 462.
Dang.
Tucker was 385.
How do you not win with those numbers?
Something that you said earlier. if you've got two or three guys hitting, then you're not going to win. You're going to get a couple of runs just because those two guys string it together.
Yep.
But look what happens when teams score a lot of runs. They may only get one or two hits, but if they get five, six, seven hits right in a row, or they get six hits in an inning, by definition, unless you're just terrible base runners, you're gonna get four or five runs.
Yep. All right. We got the Coach Rose Award now. Do you think we have the same person? I'm gonna say we do.
I think we do.
I think we do. I have Spencer Arrighetti.
Okay, no, I don't have the coach. He's not my Coach Rose. I give it to Montero. But I could see Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah.
You know, you could also give it to Brown, because you're coming in after Kansas City. I mean, that was a blowout of epic proportions, what he had suffered against Kansas City.
Spencer Arrighetti gave up seven runs in one inning.
Yeah. Well, Brown gave up nine. I mean, I've been in slow pitch softball games when balls were hit like that Brown had.
Yeah. Who'd you have?
No, he was Montero? Just got torched. I got Montero.
Okay.
because you keep on we keep on underestimating Montero from last year. Everybody has visions of 23 in their heads on Montero, and he's just been nails.
He was pretty someone that I thought of.
Pretty soon he's going to place out of the Coach Rose Award because he's been so good.
There you go. He's not going to surprise you anymore.
Uh-uh.
All right, so next
which is a nice problem to have.
Yeah. So next up for the Astros is the Washington Nationals. And I was like, well, this is going to be easy, but they're actually 8-10. I don't know if I told you this, but when I went to visit my son, we went to a Nationals game. They played.
How's that stadium?
It is beautiful. You go in the main entrance, and I guess you have to go at a certain time of year, but they have what are the trees that are famous over there?
Yeah, cherry blossoms.
Cherry blossoms in the outfield. You got to walk by them. They were pink at the time.
Oh, were they really?
And it was beautiful. And to me, going to a stadium like that, like a newish feeling stadium, and you're outside, it beats having a retractable roof. Like the Astros can open up the roof, but it's not all the way open. You can't, you know, it's, I don't know. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. If you ever been up to any other sandwich Target Field a number of years ago up in Minnesota, and it is, man, you're right. If you get an open air stadium that you can see everything, it's just really a great way to watch. I do wish the Astros would open it more. When we were there Tuesday, weather was nice. You know, open up the stadium before it gets, you know, 98 degrees outside.
Yep. My favorite one, and I've said it a million times on here, is when I went to San Francisco.
Yeah, we might go to see a game in the September out there.
It'll blow you away. And then your mouth is going to hurt from eating all the garlic fries. So I'm just warning you. All right, so Friday. The debut of JV, who's been getting lit up in the minors. But don't worry about it, folks. He's just working on stuff. He's throwing stuff he's not going to use here if it wasn't working over there. He's going to be taking on Gore, who's 2-0 with a 2.81 ERA. That game's at 5:45 on Friday. The Astros are off today, so that gives you all day to listen to this. Saturday, Blanco, 2-0, 0.86 player of the year so far, against Williams, who is 2-0 with a 3.45 ERA. That's at 3:05. Sunday, Christian Javier, 2-0, 1.54 against Parker, 1-0 with 3.6. So the pitchers for the Nationals combined 5-0, and they probably have about a 3-4 ERA. And that game is early. That game is I didn't write it down. I think it's at noonish.
Probably it's probably 1 o'clock out there, noon here.
But Washington is 8-10. And then next up, three games against the Cubs, who are 11-7. And then, by God, the Astros better win both of these games against Colorado, who are 4-15. We have one more loss than the Colorado Rockies, who just totally don't even try. That's what's frustrating. I know we're playing good teams, but we have a worse record than the teams that aren't even trying to win.
We're 2.5 behind Oakland.
They're not even trying to win.
Let's let that sink in. We're 2.5 games behind the Oakland freaking Athletics, who's in a city that doesn't want them. They don't want the city.
No.
They're going to go to Sacramento. They're not even going to use the name Sacramento. They're just going to be called the A's. and then they're going to go to Las Vegas when they may be taking bets against themselves.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to Las Vegas, you should have money. And you should start building a team. That's what I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah, when you look at an interesting thing, when you look at Washington, the Astros share that complex with the Nats.
Yep.
They should be pretty familiar with what they see. It always kind of makes me wonder in the spring training when they play each other so much, what do they really see, especially when in this new scheduling situation where you know you're going to play them. You know, do you want to show them too much? I mean, when you're playing each other, we'd have to be interesting to look back to see who actually plays against them. Do they play a lot of minor leaguers? I didn't pay much pay any attention to it. But yeah. You've got Mackenzie Gore, who's a good young left-hander. They're an up-and-coming team. The Nats are getting better. We saw some guys. We saw some guy Cruz and Wood, who are going to be big players. Wood strikes out too much. He's still on the farm, but look out. Give the Nats another 2 years. They're building something that's pretty good. The Astros should take 2 out of 3. They've got the pitching lined up. The Nats are only hitting .231 as a team. But of course, we know what that means for the Astros is that
they're going to hit 500.
The Astros could hit 500 and still only score 3 runs a game. The way they've been playing.
Well, two of the games they got Blanco and Javier, so they shouldn't have to score too many runs.
Mm.
That's the way I.
We've got the pitching lined up.
We do. We definitely do.
Yeah, and back on JV, one of the things we heard about when he was at Corpus is there's some really bad defense behind him. Of course, we didn't see the game. No. But the word was that the defense was just not good.
All right, folks, I did not announce this, but you're in for a treat because this is the return of your favorite segment and Wally's first time to do it. It's time for Fair or Foul, and we have 4 of them. I added one on here while we're talking. Uh-oh. Fair or Foul. So I am going to say something. If you agree with it, you say fair. If you don't agree with it, you say foul.
And feel free to comment in on fair or foul. Just say fair or foul.
If anybody's awake.
I know you got 40 people that are awake.
All right. So number one, we saw Espada. This is his comment is getting around. They're asking about Abreu. He'll turn it around. Look at the back of his baseball card. He's done it before. He'll turn it around. Fair or foul, Jose Abreu turns things around.
Well, I think a lot of it depends on what you call turns things around. If we think we're going to get the Jose Abreu of several years ago, where he hits 280 and 30 home runs and 110 RBIs or whatever he did, that's not going to happen. Is he going to turn it around to a point where he hits 240 or whatever? I don't know. I'm going to say foul. Bagwell's been working with him. They say he spent 4 hours working with him. Just trying to get his head right, get his swing right, get his mechanics right. What we've seen with Abreu is he's consistently getting beat with a fastball right down the middle.
Yep.
Would you have wanted to pitch Jose Abreu in 2019 or 2021 a fastball right down the middle? He may not get a hit, but if he's got a man on third base, 4 times out of 5, he's going to get the guy home.
Yeah. All right. So if you look at Jose Abreu, horrible last year. I think he had super high expectations from everybody. It was our huge offseason signing to replace Yuli Gurriel. He didn't do good. But you go to the last month of the year, the last month of the season, he led the American League in RBIs, I believe.
Which is what he's always done. He's always, the guy knows how to drive in runs. It's just, does he have the physical ability to do it anymore?
He drove in like 30-something runs in the last month of the year.
He got 90 last year.
He was, yeah.
How did he had 90. People complain about it. He had 90 RBIs last year.
I don't get it.
The first of the year that you're going to get 90 RBIs out of Jose Abreu, you said, we'll take it.
Yeah. And then in the playoffs? We're talking about the playoffs? He was second on the Astros. He was one of the only 4 guys that actually did anything. The Astros go into the playoffs. They only have 4 guys that can get a hit and 5 dudes that can't do nothing. And he was one of the guys that did something.
Yeah.
So I chose him as my favorite player, and I'm backing him. He's going to turn things around. He's hitting 80.
Now, what do you call turning things around?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
He's hitting 80. Turning around would be hitting 160. Turning it around. You know how bad everybody hated on Maldi? At least Maldi was like hovering around 200. This guy's hitting 80.
Yeah, he's about 180.
I don't know, because we got to pay him a lot of money this year. We got him again next year. Some people are like, DFA him. I mean, if he gets too bad, I guess they're going to have to. But last year he took that rest. Remember, he took the rest.
He put him on the DL,
and then he came back.
Yeah, he played real well after that.
So maybe they need to pretend like something's wrong with him. Give him a little break. But it's the beginning of the year. He shouldn't be tired. So I say fair. I got to have confidence in my boy. I got to say fair. All right, number two. JV is back, like I said. And if you look at these games right here against the Braves, like I said, the starting pitchers gave up 2, 2, and 2. So fair or foul, JV's presence is going to help the pitching staff. Maybe it rubs off into the bullpen. I don't know. Maybe he's, you know, he can help people out. He could probably say, hey, you're doing this. JV's presence helps out the pitching staff. Fair or foul?
Fair. Fair, because you get more length in that rotation. You'll get you're going to have guys like Brown or France or whomever. You would have thought it was Blanco before. But one of those guys, if you need to use them in the bullpen, you can use it. Use them in the bullpen. If you need we shouldn't need an extra starter because they've got 3 days off before the end of the month.
Yep.
It can't – just having him around, assuming he still has it.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about him getting lit up in the minor leagues, and that's true. One would expect that he's trying to get his arm lengthened out, working on pitches, basically treating it as a spring training game.
Yeah.
If he comes in and he's, when I say effective, he's got a 350 ERA, something like that, he absolutely helps us. Now, if he has a 550 ERA, of course he doesn't.
So if you look at how many days off we have, there's like 3 days off scattered around in these 8 days.
Which is nuts. Why, you know, when people talk about conspiracy theories against the Astros, come on, guys. You know, you have one day off in the first 21. You run a gauntlet and you got three in the first in the next week and a half. Give me a break.
So what I was thinking is you have Blanco and Javier and JV with these days off. There's days that you're not going to see JP France and Hunter Brown and Arrighetti or whoever. You're going to see, but I'm saying people like that. You're going to see these three studs in more than one of these series.
What you could see, and no one's talked about, is you could see them tandem Brown and France.
Yeah,
you know, start off France 5, finish up with Brown 4.
Excellent.
You know, there you go.
Excellent idea. I say fair as well, buddy. I say fair as well. We're rambling on a little bit, but like you said, I what I meant about it is that he's going to like kind of help everybody get a little better, but I think they're doing okay, but hopefully he can kind of rub off on the bullpen a little bit. But him being there, he's a guy that, even if he's getting lit up, he's going to give the Astros 7 innings. He's not a bullpen deleter. He is an awesome pitcher.
He knows, being the veteran, he knows how to get through games when he doesn't have his best stuff. And that's maybe some of the best he can and show some of these younger pitchers.
Oh, yeah. All right, number three. We have 3 against the Nationals, 3 against the Cubs, who are 11-7. And then 2 against the Rockies. I wish it was like 9 in a row against the Rockies. But every time they play the Rockies, it's only 2 games. So that is 8 games. Fair or foul, the Astros will win 5 of those 8 games.
Yeah, that's fair. And with a caveat is if they go 3-5, 2-6, then we know we're in for a long season. We talked earlier about teams developing personalities and trends. You know, the Astros have gone through a really tough schedule lack of days off, but the teams they played. Now it lightens up in both schedule and it lightens up in competition.
Yeah.
I think when you look, you said the Rockies are 1-4 and.
Yeah, they're 4-15.
They're 4-15. The Cubs are so you
11-7.
Cubs are 11-7, and you know, so you've got teams that combined are what, about 9 games under .500.
Yeah.
So So you ought to make hay on these guys.
And with the days off, you're going to see our good pitchers pitch against Colorado easily.
Yeah, somebody will get skipped.
Yeah.
So somebody in rotation will get skipped.
Yeah. So you'll probably see JV at the end of the Cubs game. But, I mean, we could go into Washington and only win one of them. But I think just looking at Blanco and Javier, those are I don't know about JV. I don't know what he's going to do. But Javier and Blanco, they just seem like automatic wins.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd be automatic wins, but you got your pitchers lined up. You should win that series.
It seems like
the Astros are so good, have always been so good about it. You get in a team that you're better than, you go out and you beat them. You don't make a big deal out of it. You just win 2 out of 3, sweep them, move on to the next city.
You got to beat them. I say fair, too. I'm not giving up on my boys, and I'm not giving up on Jose Abreu. We might win more, but I think guaranteed we can win 5 out of these 8. I guarantee it. We're going to do it. Everybody's going to be. All right. What would our record be? 5-8, 4-16. That would be 9-19.
Well, we're six and 14 now. We'd be 9-16. Yeah, we'd be 11-16.
Yeah, that's
better.
That's turning things around.
But that, you know, that's the thing is when you get down in a hole like this, people forget it's, you know, if you're people who are teams that win 60% of the games, call it that.
Yeah.
You're still only picking up 2 games on 500 per week, 2, maybe 3.
You know, the Astros have to win series.
It takes a long time to get back above water. Over time, if you're say 8, 9, 10 games behind somebody, if you're lucky, you pick up a game a week net. And that's the importance of staying in contact right now.
Yep. All right, number 4. This is the one I thought of while we were talking. I kind of read people talking about this. Fair or foul, Joe Espada is a little overwhelmed coaching this team, managing this team.
Right now, I think that's fair.
I do too.
I think there are some we on this cast, and just personally, I try not to be real critical of managers because they know a lot more information than we do. But there have been some decisions, and we talked about the Sean Dubin decision to pitch the 9th as something that's close of mind. He's making some decisions that are sometimes in desperation. Sending Dubin out, it almost like he was asleep at the wheel on that one.
Yep. Oh yeah, I forgot to take that guy out. Corey made a comment. This is my Cajun brother from Louisiana. It's nice to see you on here. What is your answer? You said no. What are you saying no to if you're still around? About him being overwhelmed or if we're going to win 5 out of 8?
I don't know if he's overwhelmed, but he's, players make rookie mistakes. Managers make rookie mistakes.
Yeah. They really do.
You know, that happens. But the Astros are in a position right now where everybody has to be on knife's edge sharp.
Yeah. The thing that this is how I see it. And I think you even said this before. It's like he makes moves that he shouldn't. Example, Jake Myers was, here we go. Jake Myers was 1 for 2 with a home run and they pinch hit for him.
Yeah.
Dubin pitched 2 scoreless innings, and they leave him in there for the 9th. I mean, there's just,
I don't know. Just thinking about it, to me, it seems like in some ways he's managing too much by a book. And one of the, we go back in the day, not that long, but in the 2017 World Series, AJ Hinch won that series. And Dave Roberts lost that series. And the reason that AJ won that series is because he managed with the book, but he also managed with his eyes. He brought Charlie Morton in the 7th game, Didn't take him out. Why take him out? He was throwing so well. He was a starter. Game two, Dave Roberts had Rich Hill was just dealing against the Astros. He was bound and determined that he was not going to let him see the Astros lineup a third time. Took him out. The Astros come back with the tying home run by Marwin in the ninth, and then go up and win it, I think, in 11 innings. And then after that, Los Angeles was chasing the Astros.
Yeah. Well, Corey, thank you for your comment. And someday, if you want to come on with us, we'd like to have you, because me and Corey never agree on anything.
Oh, that would be fun. I can play boxing referee.
Corey can attest to this, because we get on the PSF app and we can't agree on anything. And they really hated that I love Maldi. Now he probably isn't going to like that I am an Abreu lover. But that's it. That's all the fair or foul. It is time. I don't have a banner for it, but it's time for final thoughts. You have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts is this could be for an early season, could be a make or break road trip. You come back off this road trip and you have a successful road trip and you hit the standard on the head. I think 5-3, 6-2 is what you're aiming for in this road trip. You come back 5-3, 6-2. Things are pointed in a direction that you can start really getting into the season. You're still in the game. If it comes back 2-6, for example, you're closer to seeing who you might trade to get pieces rather than just talking about who you're going to win in the West.
It's a long, 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 long season. And there's a lot of playoff spots, so there's always hope. But if you look at this, the Nationals are 8-10. This is my final thought, by the way. They're 8-10. The pitchers they got going have 5 of those 8 wins. So we're not going to go into Washington and just obliterate these guys like we would think we would. But I love our pitchers. I love the pitching matchups. And I'm thinking 2 or 3 wins there, I think. But you could only win one, and then you get swept by the Cubs, and you split with Colorado, and you're going to be miserable. That's something bad that could happen. But I'm looking – we both said fair. Ooh, he said he's happy with 8-3. And then he said 7-4 is okay. Any less, we're in trouble. And we're saying 7-4.
He must be taking it into May.
Is there more road games?
No, we come back on the 1st of May because I'm going to that game.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, Corey. Thanks for your comment. And I believe we're done. So be sure to tune in. Not tune in, but we'll be back probably this weekend. Me and Wally on Sunday, right, buddy?
Sure, you got it.
And don't forget, folks, if you're still with us, there it is on the bottom. AstrosBaseballPodcast@gmail.com. Who doesn't want a free shirt? And we're going to give it away at the end of the month. And we're going to do it again next month. So enjoy the shirt. So for Wally, I'm Rob Fontenot, and we will see you next time on Astros Baseball.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.